they are the best of the best.
The FBI Academy is the toughest boot camp, hardest grad school rolled into one.
They're smarter. Smarter.
Congratulations. You made it in.
Let's see if you can survive.
They're tougher.
Don't move! Keep your hands where I can see them!
And one of them will become our nation's greatest threat.
Wait, are you telling me you think one of these people is a terrorist?
Priyanka Chopra stars in Quantico. Series premieres Sunday, 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, guys. Welcome back. It's time for Doctor Who!
Yes!
Oh, guys, we're here to talk about series 9. Doctor Who is back with The Magician's Apprentice. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for being patient with us. I know it's a little late in the week, but look at these awesome new studios. We are in fantastic new studios here at AfterBuzz TV, and now we are ready to talk about Doctor Who.
Yes.
We redecorated.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
That's a good pull. Yeah. Thanks. I was going to make a wibbly wobbly timey wimey reference if we didn't do that enough on Twitter about all the delays, but we're so happy to be here. And what a great episode to be talking about.
And oh my God.
Tari was attacked by a Dalek and no one knows what'll happen.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. No, he's going to be one of those ones with the stalk coming out of the forehead now.
Yeah.
We've always got to be suspicious of Tari.
Yeah.
He could be Tari. He could be Dylan undercover.
Oh, he could totally be Dylan.
All right. It's a whole other thing. but let's dive right into this episode.
Yeah.
Davros. I got chills in that opening.
Mm-hmm.
Chills.
Should we tell people who we are?
Oh, yeah, probably. I was too excited. Yeah.
I know.
Legitimately, it might be the best season opener that they've done in years, but it's one of the best ever. Maybe the best that they've done.
Well, let's open with who we are and then get into that.
Okay. I can't help myself.
Guys, I'm Zach Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us. You can tweet at me throughout the show, throughout the week, at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON.
I'm Yael Teagle. You can tweet at me at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. I apologize for all the letters.
That's okay. and I am Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. Same thing on Twitter. And for those of you who have been longtime watchers or listeners of the show, we've been doing this show since season 7 premiered, I believe, 2011? 2012?
Something like that.
Yeah, sure. I think 2012. Yeah, and I've been on the show ever since then, ever since we started it, and some people may be wondering why I'm not leading the panel this year, and it's just because my schedule's gotten really crazy, so I can't guarantee that I can be here all the time, and we're very, very lucky to have amazing folks like Zach and like Yael and like Tari who are able to be here all the time and are crazy huge Doctor Who fans, in some ways way bigger than me, and they school me all the time, so... I'm so happy to be here, and I'll be here a few times this season. I'll definitely be here for the finale and the Christmas special, and then other times, schedule permitting.
Great. Thank you for being here tonight, Matt.
Yeah,
I'm making it work.
I legitimately would not miss it for the world.
Yeah.
So happy to dive into this show. You guys, okay.
Okay, so now we're diving.
Magician's Apprentice.
Yes!
901. The opening. Mm-hmm. So, for me, we get this cool moment on what we don't know what planet it is, but there's, clearly a cross of technologies, which is sort of like a set, it's like a subtle reference to, I think it was Genesis of the Daleks story.
I believe it's a Tom Baker story. It's season 4 or it's the fourth Doctor. I think it's series 12. If I'm not mistaken, and it's the first introduction of Davros, and it's just it's a planet at war. It is Skaro, I do believe. We are on Skaro.
No, we are on Skaro. Yeah, we don't know at the time we are.
In that episode, in that serial, which fuels all of the ideas in this episode. It's all about exploring that one Tom Baker quote that they use towards the end. Mm-hmm. Is just, you've got this ongoing war forever and ever and ever, and this leads Davros to come up with the final solution. But what makes him think that that is a viable solution? And it's this moment with the Doctor.
What, I mean,
that teaches him that compassion is a lie.
It's when the Doctor shows up, like, this opening, why it was so crazy, I thought it was so good, is that you open it and it's this roller coaster of emotions, because you're just like, oh cool, there's like a war and there's like bows and arrows
and
stuff.
And it's like very Doctor Who, because you've got the cross technology and biplanes with lasers.
Exactly.
And a bow and arrow.
But then you get this kid trapped and the hand mines. This like sort of Pan's Labyrinth-y.
Yeah, super so creepy.
Creepy thing. And then the Doctor appears out of the mist. And for an opening, it's just great. You're like, yes, he's back. And it's just like, you're like excited. And then the moment that the word Davros comes out of that kid's mouth, chills.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was awesome. And like, I feel like, did you guys know what he was going to do? Like, what the end of that scene was when the titles started to roll? Like, did you know that he was going to leave him?
I had no idea. I was, because it could have gone either way.
I can't remember if it was like an idea that occurred to me or if I read something that kind of like pointed me in that direction.
I kind of assumed that he was going to go. I assumed he would go and like do something, like not leave the kid, but like go and deal with it in a different way and then like solve the problem from a different aspect.
Yeah. The first time I watched it, I was like kind of, it opens so suddenly and it moves so fast and escalates so fast. It's throwing a lot at you. It's throwing Missy at you. It's throwing Davros at you. You know, Daleks and all this stuff. And the first time I watched it, I wasn't really crazy about anything before the Doctor reappears with the guitar. but like upon second viewing, I'm like, this is a very meticulously constructed episode to fit so much in just 49 minutes is really impressive. And it's easily the like least accessible premiere that they've ever done.
Well, my first thought when I finished watching this episode was that is the most Doctor Who episode of Doctor Who Moffat has ever done as a showrunner.
I don't know about ever, but certainly explain. About like fan service.
It's in one episode, you got Davros and the Daleks.
Yeah.
You got UNIT. You got the Shadow Proclamation. You went back to planets like Karn. Thank you.
Yeah.
Which was like this random throw reference, but you got like
Missy.
You have the Master in there, or Missy, like which however you want to say it.
Missy.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. But like all of that crammed into one episode, but it didn't feel loaded. There was an Ood in a bar. Like,
yeah. Oh, I was so happy.
Which even
about
that bar was a reference that like I didn't even realize until somebody pointed it out. That's the Malvadorium.
Yeah, it's where the blue headed guy was, right?
Yeah, I think it's where I think it's where the electric chess was.
Oh yeah.
In the Matt Smith episode.
Yeah.
All of that in one episode, and it didn't feel forced.
It didn't, yeah. And one thing it never felt was forced, but it was definitely for the fans. And I feel like Doctor Who has reached a size now, globally, and a level of entrenchment in pop culture that they no longer feel obligated to let new people in.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, if you want to see the show, it's available on a streaming service in every single major territory. If you want to find it, you can and you should. Right now, we're going to continue the story and tell the story we want to tell. And what a story.
I read earlier before like it premiered that they had intentionally done that, and that this was an episode that they were like, we're done trying to let you join us now. And I gotta say, I'm glad. I'm sick of every season premiere being like, oh, you're not new here, you're not from here, like let's explain real quick where we are and what's happening. No, this is for us. We've invested our time. I have been marathoning the show over and over again. Like, this is for us. We earned this.
Yeah.
And it's fair when it's a new Doctor to go through those those loops a little bit.
A little.
Right, because you kind of have to write off the first, like, three episodes of any Doctor.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, well, because any time with a new Doctor is, like, sort of a pilot. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about my three-episode rule for sci-fi shows, and I think that that applies to a new Doctor as well.
Sure.
You have to get in the first episode, you're introducing the world. Mm-hmm. You have to build the world. You have to build what this flavor of the Doctor is going to be like. In the second episode, you get the characters. You get to know who they are, what their relationships are, and how they're going to work together. And then episode three, now that you've got all that established, you can just do an episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
And move forward. And that's why I always give sci-fi shows a three episode. If I like anything about the concept, I'll give them three episodes before I
tune
out.
See, and that's a very interesting point to make about Doctor Who, because you can point to seasons two and seasons five. So you've got David Tennant, and you've got that New Earth episode, which is largely about establishing who is this Doctor when facing an old foe. Then you've got the Queen Elizabeth werewolf episode, where it's like, well, how does he work with Rose? And then in the third episode, or no, Gridlock is season three. I'm messing up. Third episode is what of that? It's not School Reunion. School Reunion's four, I think.
I don't remember the order.
I'm like pissing people off by the second by not knowing.
I mean, remembering episode order, wait, I feel like we can give you a pass.
You're
on.
Counting New Earth as the first episode?
As the first episode of that series.
But it's not the first episode with him.
It's not the first episode with him, but he spent most of the episode knocked out. So you really only got like two good scenes with him in that Christmas special.
But I will say that those are the scenes where we're discovering who he is as a Doctor.
Sure, but we're still discovering. It, regardless.
I move my scale down.
Okay,
three.
Well, no, but then it does make sense. Because then you've got that Christmas special as the introduction to him. You've got New Earth as their interaction between each other. Yeah. And then you've got the second episode, the werewolf episode, as just a good cracking story.
Done.
So you're absolutely right.
You're welcome.
thank you. You saved it for myself.
But anyway, I mean, in this episode, let's get into the actual storyline of like the Doctor and Davros in this episode.
Yeah.
Because it's dealing with some very heavy themes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the quote, as you said, the Baker episode, the big theme that they dealt with was it's the Kill Hitler conundrum. Like,
yeah.
If you know, I have the quote written down somewhere in here.
The Kill Hitler conundrum.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's so funny because, like, you talk about it all the time, and we do an episode called Let's Kill Hitler, and it's never about killing Hitler.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the first Doctor where I feel like he would actually make this choice when faced with this decision. And that's what makes Peter Capaldi's Doctor so fascinating, is he is one who is morally conflicted and deeply flawed. Like, they're all flawed characters. They're all flawed versions of the same man. But this one listens to his darkest impulses in a way that we haven't seen since Colin Baker, since the Sixth Doctor.
Yeah.
Huh.
The quote was just, if someone knew who the future pointed... If someone who knew the future pointed out a child to you and told you that that child grew up to be totally evil... and who became a ruthless dictator who would take millions of lives, could you kill that child?
It's Looper.
It's
the movie Looper.
It is the movie Looper. But here's the thing. If it had been, say, 10th Doctor, if it had been David Tennant, or maybe Matt Smith, and he came across that child, regardless of his pain, I'm saying 10th Doctor especially, he maybe would have made the other choice and would have instead tried to stay with that child and raise him in a way that he would never see violence as an answer versus abandoning him and hoping that the problem would go away.
Yeah, I mean, Capaldi, like, running away, that's the Doctor. To me, that's, like, that's what the Doctor, and maybe it is the darker one, but he ran.
Yeah.
He ran. Yeah. Like, he saw a situation in which there is no good option, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran.
But there is a good option. You save that child and you maybe, just maybe, teach them something. Like, that's the thing. This is not a new event. This is not changing the timeline. I feel like this is one of those moments, one of those fixed moments in time where the Doctor was always going to meet Davros in that time period. It's the Joker birth. It's Batman meeting the Joker and being destined to create his greatest foe. Mm-hmm. It is exactly that. In this moment of cowardice, late in his lifespan, he created an enemy that would haunt him throughout all of his early days, over a millennium.
I mean, it rings true. It's the interesting thing about
this. Right? It's so
fucking cool. I love talking about this show.
It's the interesting thing about the Doctor, though. Like, throughout the stories, like, he makes the Daleks worse.
Yeah.
Like, he even in, like, the original, like, the first... I think it was First Doctor, where he, like, basically just him going to Skaro and interfering. It may have even been, like, the first appearance of the Daleks, the Dead Planet. Was it the Dead Planet? Either way. Regardless.
Yeah.
He basically introduced them to the concept of time travel.
Yeah.
And so gave them that ability.
It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
Every time that he tries not to just stop a Dalek plot, but actually try to fix the problem of there are Daleks mm-hmm. in the universe, he either gives them another weapon or somehow allows them to continue to exist or strengthens them in
Which
some way.
We see like a perfect example last season when they go into the Dalek mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm going to help you. And what does he do is he... fixes it to be a hateful Dalek again.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what he does to the Daleks, it's going to hurt him in the long run.
But so here's a question, though. By, like, did he, like, rules of time and all that, did he have another option? Because if he did try to stay with Davros and, like, raise him right so that he doesn't create the Daleks, would that not break time?
I don't know. As long as he never interacted with himself, granted...
But the Daleks are so fundamental to who the Doctor is
and
everything that he has ever done.
It would rewrite history. The question is, would he still exist in the rules of Doctor Who, which are so fluid?
Especially in Moffat's years. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, like, you thought I was dead? Not dead. Doesn't matter. Let's move on.
That was a great moment.
Can we talk about it?
I agree with it. That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Here, can we... Yeah, let's talk about that. And then I want to talk about something in particular. Like, a lot of people have problems with Moffat for certain things, but there's something he did very right.
With Davros and the Doctor? Or?
No.
Okay.
It's something very different.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into Missy and the Doctor, and then we'll come back to, like, medieval times and all that via this
so
route.
Good.
Because, like, we came back, and, like, yes, I love Missy's just, like, introduction, because... it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could discuss, like, I never thought that she was
gone
in the first place.
Right.
Like, to be honest, when I saw the end of last season, I didn't even think she was dead. I thought that was a teleportation effect
uh-huh.
and not the death effect.
Right.
And then somebody was like, no, she died. And I had to go, like, wait, what?
I think that was me. I'm the fool here. Yeah.
But, like,
well,
but
she
they...
was shot, right? She was shot by...
by a Cyberman.
By a Cyberman.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
her gun.
But thing. The Master, Missy, never dies.
Right. So, like, I didn't
ever.
Expect her to actually be dead.
Doctor Who the movie. The Master was a freaking CGI slug.
But I expected...
I always forget about that.
A throwaway line that explained it. That said, why I expected that is beyond me. But I expected something other than, yep, I'm alive. Moving
but her,
on.
But her reintroduction here is so... just made me smile and laugh in all the best ways. You so fine.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that was up on the screen, I squealed. I was like, it's missing.
cutting to the chase, not dead, back, big surprise,
yeah.
Moving on. Never mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I know that it's something that's so very Moffat, but it's also so very that character.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you know, whether you like how he writes or not, Moffat runs the show, and that is effectively the voice of the show now. The voice of the show is, we're going to tell you great stories, and if there's something that we want you to understand, we'll tell you. If it's something that you really don't need to waste your time on, we're going to tell you to ignore it. And hopefully you believe us.
Yeah.
For better or worse, that's the attitude of the show.
There have been times where that's been beneficial.
I feel like you're talking to me.
And yeah. times where it's been... there have been times where that's, like, pushed its limits.
Sure.
I thought the time of the Doctor pushed its limits
oh,
on that with the time stream thing.
Yep.
Which, like, that was an episode where I liked it when I watched it, and then I stopped and I thought about, like, all the things that they introduced and then broke
mm-hmm.
in 45 minutes.
Yep.
And it was like, I think you could have rewritten
and then they just
more time.
Ignored it.
Yeah.
Which, I think we're so Doctor Who starved. It's almost impossible to talk about this episode. We just want to talk about the show.
All right. So, but let's talk about
Missy.
Missy.
Yeah.
In this episode. And like Missy and Clara's interaction at the very beginning. Because we got Clara and the hashtag planes have stopped.
Mm-hmm. But also, Clara's the puppy. See that couple? Clara's You're the puppy.
Yeah.
No, I got to say, I at first didn't like Missy when we saw her last season for just like a second per episode, and then when we met her, I fell in love. And Missy is my absolute hands down favorite master.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Gomez is fantastic.
She's fantastic. And this episode, I thought she was. This felt even more like the master than last season. Like last season, you got like the hint of it, but this episode had that real just. Insanity.
Yeah.
That like this is not a sane individual.
She's
in
bananas.
Any way.
No.
Bananas.
Yeah. But that's
you could see her saying like I'm B-A-N-A-N-A. Like at some point.
Exactly.
I'm bananas.
Exactly. And you know, she sees herself as the doctor's best friend, and it begs the question, is there some truth to that? Because they've known each other longer than anybody else. Mm-hmm. They have a very intimate relationship. And you know, friends fight.
Yeah.
And they just have one major difference of opinion. Other than that, they do have a lot in common.
They do have a lot in common. They've always been around each other. Mm-hmm. And I liked the concept that Missy introduced here, that their friendship goes beyond what most people, like especially people with a human lifespan, could comprehend as friends. The idea that there is another level of friendship. That there's another level of love in a way that we just don't have because we only have 75 to 100 years max to live.
So sad.
But if you have a millennia or two in the doctor's case, I love that he's the 2,000-year-old man. Makes
finally.
Me smile, Mel Brooks. but that idea that something that lasts 2,000 years would be so ingrained in you that. It doesn't matter how much you bicker and fight. Like that's a connection that is stronger than any Doctor Who and his companion could ever be.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about that conundrum?
I think that it's really compelling, and I think that the argument is sound in a way. Even though they disagree on very fundamental things, these are people who started out as close friends and who have watched each other grow and have a level of respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Master has, I think, an extreme level of respect for the Doctor, which is why the Master keeps coming back and keeps coming back with far more insidious and deadly plots, really just trying to get the Doctor to see that her perspective is correct. And the Doctor has a lot of respect for the Master in that the Master is that dangerous that he treats her with that much fear. He's not afraid of anything. There are two things that deeply disturb him to his core, and it's the Daleks, the most deadly thing in the galaxy, and his oldest, worst friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say that the Doctor and the Master, I like to think of them as Xavier and Magneto, right? Like they are friends. They are on opposite sides of the wars, but they are friends. And when it comes down to it, they respect and love each other. And
they have different views on life.
Right. And when Clara says that she's the best friend, that also really bugged me because up until now, every companion has been, you know, a companion a different way, but Amy was the Doctor's best friend.
Yes.
And like, Clara, I'm like, I love you. You're great. At no point have I ever considered you the Doctor's best friend.
Well, I would agree with you there that she is not the Doctor's best friend. She wasn't the 10th Doctor or the 11th Doctor's best friend. She's not the 12th Doctor's best friend.
Right.
But it's entirely natural that she would believe that because she's the only person who gets to share his TARDIS with him.
Right. Agreed.
As far as she knows, like as far as she can tell, she's the only person he like spends any time
the only person he likes.
With. Yeah.
I don't want to go on a huge anti-Clara like rant, but she's not there all the time. He leaves her at school. Right?
He leaves her to live his life.
Yeah, to live her life. But like she doesn't know that he might have other friends. I still believe that Perkins from the Orient Express, that they still hang out. I believe full-heartedly that they hang out.
When I rewatched that episode recently, I just, like, remembered, like, how much I wanted Perkins to just be a permanent, like, guy. Like, the Perkins would have been the sitcom version of Doctor Who, the, like, guy that just pops out of, like, the TARDIS, like, engine all the time to, like, make a one-liner and disappear.
Perkins, not now!
I want him so bad!
All right, anyway. Yeah. Off topic.
Sorry.
But let's, so they, this conversation between Missy and Clara that leads then to the Doctor in medieval times.
Which is an absolute blast.
And just how we got there, I love the, again, this was characters behaving to the top of their intelligence, because now we, with UNIT at full function like this, it makes sense that they could track through history all these times that the Doctor shows up. Whether or not we've been there before, whether it's in Modern Who, Classic Who, anything, or something we haven't done yet, they would have the history.
Yeah.
And they type in Blue Box and Doctor, and they come up with a list of his hit points.
And okay. here's this brings me to the point that I wanted to make earlier about something that Moffat gets a lot of flack for, but I think he really elevated his game in this episode with. He has a lot gets a lot of flack for his treatment of female characters, lack of female characters, or the fact that they're written very thinly. But every single character in this episode, with the exception of the Doctor and Davros and the Snake Man, is a woman with agency, with intelligence, and we had a scene between three women trying to save millions of lives, and they succeed. Granted, a few people die, but they succeed, and it's a scene that you very rarely get to see, and it's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to see this show, like, freaking destroy the Bechdel test in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I've always bucked at that assertion that Moffat is a misogynist anyway. I think at the very minimum, if you think he writes women poorly, I might be able to give you that. But he has created some extremely strong female characters. Look at Amy. Look at Clara. Like, Clara had some, like, missteps last season that, like, I wasn't a fan of.
I would say missteps the season before that got fixed last season.
I would say missteps the whole time, but continue.
All right.
We all have different feelings on Clara, which if we have time, we'll try to get into that towards the end.
Sure.
But regardless, she is a strong character, and, like, even if her whole arcs haven't been strong, she has been strong as a character.
Sure.
And that's the thing. It's like, maybe some specifics have been off, but Moffat goes for the female characters. He does. I don't think he's trying to be anything. And this scene is just the epitome of that.
I will say that I do believe that unintentionally Moffat does do some sexist, chauvinistic things unintentionally. I'd like to believe unintentionally. That said, I agree. It was wonderful to see an amazing, strong female cast this week. And I hope this trend continues. And I think that I'd like to believe he's heard the cry of the women and is working on it.
Yeah. That's more what I'd like to believe. Kate Lethbridge Stewart.
Please. Oh, yeah.
She's great. Her partner at UNIT, not so much.
She's okay. She's trying. She's making guesses.
She's no Osgood.
She's not Osgood.
And that's sort of like, because we're feeling that, like, that's where Osgood would be if they hadn't killed her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor old Osgood.
But they get back to the Middle Ages, and the Doctor shows up shredding on a guitar on a tank with sunglasses on.
Making puns.
Introducing dude to the general populace centuries early. It's just, like, beautiful.
Was that a Bill and Ted nod?
I don't know. I mean, you could make that argument, and maybe that's where he got the inspiration, but I feel like it's Doctor Who being Doctor Who.
Maybe it's just because Bill Party and Ted were dudes, like, they had, like, this, like, crazy old man who showed up in a telephone booth and took them through time, and they were saying dude and got Napoleon's and all that stuff. To me, it felt like this great, like, circle of reference.
Yeah, that scene is so great.
Oh my god.
And seeing, it's so nice to see battle. Capaldi, the axe battle, the, like, everything about it was amazing, and then watching it and going, oh, he's playing. He's actually playing. Like, that's because Capaldi, when you see him embrace his inner fanboy, it's my absolute favorite thing. And so to see him playing the role he's meant to play and then playing guitar as the role he's meant to play, it's like the geekiest moment ever. And I was squeeing, I'm gonna be honest.
I just love that, like, the when she's like, did he see me, can he hear us, and then the answer is Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
On the guitar.
And just like from a writer's perspective, how he put this scene together, the amount of information that had to be delivered and character relationships that had to be reestablished in this sequence and still have the level of humor that it had, mm-hmm. is really impressive. It's built well. Like, you know, you've got this anachronism of like, dude, what the hell? He's saying dude, and then you're just kind of like, okay, maybe that's just Doctor Who being Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Revealing that dude is actually something that he's introduced in general.
Yeah.
Getting people to chant with him, getting to understand where he's at emotionally, seeing Jenna and Missy and bringing her down, bringing them back together, and then dealing with the Missy problem,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing in Snake Man. And it's just sort of like, it's very elegant, and it could have been clunky as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was great.
I do want to just go, or just take a step back, because I think it's a fair question. Mm-hmm. The topic we were just talking about with Moffat,
sure.
and potential misogyny. Sure. Do we have any examples? Yeah, a lot of people in the chat roll are asking if you have any specifics.
I have lots of specifics, and I feel like that will distract us, and I would be happy to take it offline.
Okay. So, guys, Twitter. If you want to discuss that further,
yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll definitely...
I think we discussed it at length a couple Christmas specials ago.
Yeah.
I think your first episode, it was the one after the 50th special.
Maybe. I don't remember. I'm happy to talk about it on my Twitter.
Yeah, when we have more than 15 minutes left to discuss the rest of it.
Exactly.
Very happy to talk about it.
And Boo69Bs does point out Osgood is coming back.
Yes, Osgood is coming back.
We know that at least the actor...
Right.
Is back.
Yeah.
So, but whether or not it's the character,
it's probably just a Zygon. It's probably just a Zygon.
Remains to be seen.
Bummer.
But so let's just go ahead to the, well, let's,
to Scarrow?
Just the creepy, well, the creepy Snake colony guy? Sarf.
Yeah.
Who I didn't notice the name until I watched it with subtitles. I just, mm-hmm. in my head, it was one word. It was Colony Sarf.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and it's Colony Sarf, as in like,
It
was less of a reveal when you hear that. So creepy.
Really?
Snakes.
Absolutely disgusting.
Why did it have to be snakes?
I love the way that the effect was achieved. I love when the piece of the face started spinning. Really, the effects were on point throughout this episode. The only exception being when all the snakes peeled away and was just the one giant snake. It was real lame. It was not good.
The talking was a little
off. Yeah, because it wasn't like... It was psychic, and the mouth wasn't moving, because the mouth was moving a little bit, but it was not in any way matching the dialogue.
Yeah.
So it was real weird.
It was like almost Harry Potter flashbacks, but not,
yeah,
not quite.
But cool, creepy idea. And then he grabs the doctor.
I think they just used all the budget on the hand mines.
That's true. I love the idea of they were voting, that they're a democracy. That was really cool. And then they bring him onto the ship, and they take a ride to what appears to be a space station, but it's actually Scarrow. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome reveal.
So cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love the concept of hiding a planet like mm-hmm. that
yeah.
until you're out in the atmosphere of it and you adjust to it.
Yeah.
And that fear, like when the master fears something.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It is okay that we keep saying the master.
Yeah, I think
right?
it's interchangeable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same.
Just clarifying.
Well, I mean, she's an old-fashioned time lady.
but
oh, that was one of the best lines. It's like, I've known him since he was a little girl.
One of those is a lie.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. But so when the master fears something,
mm-hmm.
because we had two of the Doctor's biggest rivals ever, to the point where it's like, hold on, Davros is your archenemy.
Yeah.
Missy is not happy that somebody else could potentially be the Doctor's biggest enemy.
Yeah.
But when somebody as scary as the master is frightened,
mm-hmm.
you know to be scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when you see all those Daleks like rising out of Scarrow, the city.
Well, Missy still remembers the Time War.
Yeah.
Missy was there.
Yeah.
She knows how many Time Lords died during that war. I would say the only thing that she's afraid of is the Daleks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. So we, the Dr. Grisioni's meeting with Davros. It's scary to like see them, and then like throws, like they have to have the screwdriver in the in the medieval times, like thrown at him.
I was surprised that Davros never accused the doctor of anything. That was the one thing that kind of bothered me. Or two, there are two things. One is you have Missy opening an airlock, and then you just cut on. So what happens? Like you have to show what happens. And the second thing is that Davros summons the doctor, and he's like he's torturing him emotionally, which understood. But he never says, "You abandoned me." I was waiting for that moment.
Is it? I thought it was almost good unsaid. Like there's an understanding. Like Davros knows. Davros remembers.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't seem to show knowing or remembering.
Yeah, but I think it's creepier when he doesn't say it. Because you're waiting, right? You're the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know what you've done.
So you're saying...
And you're waiting for them to say it.
It builds the tension.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you're waiting for the assault on him. You're waiting for him to just go, like, it was your fault. Like, for somebody to say out loud, you created the Daleks by abandoning me that day. Right. But he doesn't... Someone says it, he could theoretically like try to dispel that argument.
Right.
But when it's left unsaid, he just has to twist and turn with the concept in his head, which is, if for anyone who's had any kind of struggle like that, whether it's just like a friendship or betrayal or whatever, that's way worse.
Mm-hmm. Even when it's something small, just even the little things, if you're waiting for someone to attack you verbally and you're now going over it in your head, you're struggling inside waiting, and you're not, you know, you're just on the defense and scared. It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And while that's all going on, Clara and Missy are with this like gathering of like all the Daleks they could find minus the Eye Daleks.
Eye Daleks and the special weapons Dalek, which was in the background of Asylum of the Daleks. But, like, in many ways, this episode, to me, made up for the crap pile that is Asylum of the Daleks. And I will come out and say that episode is a crap pile because it was supposed to be the most epic thing ever, and it was not. But this, like, I love this collection of Daleks. I love the way that they all work together. I love that Daleks from every time period of the show are represented. Mm-hmm. You've got 80s Daleks. You've got 60s Daleks. The first Dalek we see on screen this episode, other than the human Daleks, is a remake of one of the originals from the 60s. That color scheme, that model. So
it like sort of came out with looking like powder blue.
Yeah, that made me real happy.
It was good. It felt appropriate. It felt like the Supreme Dalek, like just the big red gold. You even had the black Dalek from season 2.
Right. Really from the
wasn't it?
No, we had the black Dalek was like the black and white Dalek, and that was from Peter Davison's time, Fifth Doctor.
I'm thinking about the little like squadron of Daleks that had names.
Yeah, I know. The Council of Skaro, someone will say in the chat, and everyone will hate us. And that's fine.
We're gonna get mad.
Yeah, let's just get off. Get back on topic.
Some people are saying that they thought Asylum was good.
I liked Asylum.
Yeah, I had big problems with it. Just because it was sold as the biggest thing ever, and then it wasn't. But that's neither here nor there. This scene was fun, and I for one, was stunned when Missy and Clara both got blasted. It didn't quite hold weight, because I knew they would come back.
Yeah,
but
that's my problem. I feel like it's being, especially after killing her, air quotes, in the season finale.
Sure.
Is like, all right, now what? And also, now when I got frustrated. I got frustrated that Clara didn't move back out of the way. She's surrounded by Daleks, and they were all distracted by Missy. Like, girl, hide.
It's almost accepted now on the show that death doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just, we're going to kill people for effect, but everyone will come back someday.
And I don't like it.
I mean, you never want death to feel cheap.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is the thing. My whole thing with Asylum was they set up this... Similarly, you want things to pay off. You want to feel that, like, it wasn't a throwaway. So, like, the idea that Asylum, like, it set up this idea that the Daleks had forgotten the Doctor. What does that do to your storyline? It could do anything. And then it did nothing. They just undid it.
Yeah. And I'll say that the Oswin stuff in that episode is worthwhile, but everything else is garbage.
Before we finish up with this episode and talk about the last few things, because there's so much more than we have time to talk about, but I want to make sure we give a quick shout out to one of our sponsors. Fantastic. ABC is coming out with a new show, Quantico, which airs this Sunday, September 27th. It's the series premiere of ABC's highly anticipated new drama. As I said, it's called Quantico. Quantico is where the FBI trains their top recruits. Over 100,000 young people apply, and only 1,200 get in. It's very small.
Damn.
Small percentage get in. They are the smartest, strongest, and have the best skills. Now they must live and train together under one roof. But everything changes when a massive terrorist attack strikes in America, and the FBI discovers its greatest fear, that one of their top Quantico recruits is a terrorist.
Oh, damn.
Behind it all and became a traitor? It's an edge-of-your-seat drama with twist after twist after twist. It's a lot of twists.
That's maybe too many twists. I watch to find out if it's too many.
It stars Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah,
in
who's
the
a
role.
Huge Bollywood star.
Yeah.
It's a big deal that she's coming to the States and to do this show.
And to be a lead in a network show is a big deal. So don't miss the series premiere of Quantico, which is Sunday, September 27th at 10, 9 central on ABC.
I'm actually really excited about this show.
Yeah, be sure to tune in and thank them. We thank them for sponsoring our show here today. They help us bring it to you for free.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back in with the limited time that we have left. Where we leave this episode is in dire straits because as far as we can tell... Clara is dead.
Sure.
Missy dead, disintegrated with a Dalek beam, and the TARDIS is about to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Which I love Missy's like line about like Clara, because we assume the TARDIS is indestructible,
right?
And Clara's like, he said it's indestructible. Never trust a man about a vehicle.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
Duh, we're dumb. We're real dumb and
just
blustery.
Like to brag.
Yeah. And I love how, like, for a hot second, it's like, oh my god, the Master and the Daleks working together, and the Daleks be like, no, you dangerous, goodbye.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not sharing the universe with you. We don't need this. But then, you know, there's the lingering question, which I imagine that part two is going to answer for us, which is, how does the Doctor get off of Skaro and back in time to blast Davros in the face with a laser?
It was an arm.
Yeah, it was a Dalek arm.
Yeah. Which I guess you could put like a trigger on.
Sure,
that'll work. Or maybe he's like pointing a screwdriver into the end of it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, ultimately, it's a little mutant that lives inside the tank. There is a switch in there, as long as you keep
the switch intact. That's true.
You guys are silly.
That's what it is.
I'm aware.
Squid guy
it's just
in there.
Silly that that's what we're discussing.
Right.
It's a little green squid guy with one eye chilling inside a bit, like a
we
portable
know what
little
a Dalek
tank
is,
thing.
Yes. Also, interesting symbolism that the Doctor wheels out on a tank that he says he doesn't like, and then later has a discussion about what kind of sick person would be so afraid that they would put all of their people inside of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. The tank is also just a very it's very reminiscent of a Dalek because of the one eye shooting out from it.
Yeah.
And then the eye showed up from his forehead.
Gross.
With that and with the limited amount of time we have left,
we have news and gossip.
Let's get into some news and gossip, you guys.
Yeah. AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so this was a shock to me when Matt brought this to me.
Yeah, this is a big rumor, and take it with a huge grain of salt because it's from The Mirror, which is a notorious British tabloid, but people are talking about it today, so it's worth mentioning. Apparently, Peter Capaldi is concerned that the quality of the show is going to drop now that Jenna Coleman is leaving. He's worried maybe that he's outstaying his welcome, and he now wants to leave the show. Now, obviously, this is coming out now. They're shooting the Christmas special now. There's no way that even if this was true, that they could rewrite that special to have him leave. We'll have him at least for another season if this is true, but probably not. The other thing that's going on is apparently BBC wants to replace him with Richard Madden, a.k.a. Rob Stark from Game of Thrones.
Now, a.k.a. Jenna's boyfriend.
He's Jenna's boyfriend. He's on the set all the time. All the executives know him. The crew knows him. And they all love him because he's a very nice guy. So apparently they're very interested in bringing him on as the Doctor. What do you guys think?
I think it's a rumor.
It's a rumor. I say get rid of it. He's already under contract for 3 seasons.
Oh, yay!
So, like, he is under contract for season 10.
Yeah.
Like, what they could theoretically change, like, they could agree to drop that if they mutually agreed that they wanted to go separate ways. But he is under contract for another season, which at 3 seasons seems to be the standard length for doctors at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if you look back, most doctors, you know, last like 4 seasons or less, Tom Baker being the one real exception.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's got the record. But I was surprised, like, Jenna Coleman is going to have, like, the record for
companions
yeah. soon, which is a little bit disappointing to me. We don't have time to get into that. I hope that this season can bring us back to Clara and we can really just fall in love with her again, and then we lose her.
I totally did last year, and yeah. I don't understand how anybody else didn't. So.
Well, we don't have time to discuss it, as we've said. Really quick, let's do mini predictions very quickly before we have to get out of here.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Matt, what are you thinking?
Oh, man, mini predictions. By the end of the next episode, everything's okay.
Ditto.
Yeah. He's going to go back. I think it's going to wrap up more complicated. I think we're going to find out, like, I don't think he's going to kill Davros. I think that's a fake out. And then Missy just teleported the two of them away using her magical iPhone with a case that kills people.
Oh, you mean a vortex manipulator? That we've introduced before?
No, she's
the little...
She's the iPhone.
Oh, that's true, but she mentioned it was a vortex manipulator, yeah. Quick and dirty time travel.
Yeah.
I think that the scene that we saw at the end of this episode is actually a scene from late in next episode. Most of next episode, I feel like, is going to be how he gets out of how he gets off of Skaro, mm-hmm. and he finally has the opportunity to kill him, and it's about whether or not he finally will.
And that, I mean, that's, like, we saw that clip from Baker's doctor, mm-hmm. with the big quote we were talking about earlier, and that's the dilemma that he's going to have to deal with. With that, I think we sadly are going to have to call it a wrap here for the Doctor Who After Show, because there are other shows that need the studio.
Yes.
But we will be back on our regular time, Sundays at 10 p.m. That is our time. We will be sticking to it from here on out.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about all of the craziness that is this season. Maisie Williams is going to be on this show in some way. There's a dragon that we saw in a trailer.
It's all two-parters.
Yeah.
I love that. Because mm-hmm. last season, the whole, like, one episode, and then it's, like, just moves on. That was boring. These two-part episodes feel so much bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a movie every week, or half a movie.
Half a movie.
So much to talk about. Be sure to join us every week. We're going to have some fun people in to discuss the show with us. Matt, you'll be back as much as you can.
As much as I can.
And Tari will be back with us.
Maybe.
Guys, until then, where can they keep up with you?
Sure. You can keep up with me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MattLieberman. I'm launching some podcasts of my own in the coming months. There's going to be a big announcement for it that's coming out Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. So check out that. I do advice videos 4 days a week, and now I'm doing some fun podcasts. And SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd, Superhero Roundup, live Fridays at 1 p.m.
Awesome. You can find me online at yell.tv. There you'll find exclusive interviews with the cast of Doctor Who. That's right. At Comic-Con, I talked to all of them. Check it out.
She met Peter Capaldi.
I did meet Capaldi. and Michelle Gomez, and she's amazing. And I am here and at Twitter, Let's Talk Chauvinism on Twitter at Yael Teagle. That's Yael Teagiel.
Yeah, you guys can tweet at me throughout the week at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON. I assure you guys, we're going to talk about River coming back Christmas special and all of that. All the things you're saying, we will talk about it.
I refuse to talk about River Song.
I will talk about River Song.
We will talk about it. I assure you. Guys, I'm Zach Wilson, and thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.